Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, we're still getting started here in Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and it's more of the same. We're looking when we heard yesterday about the call to be salt and light. We may not have readily grasped the fact that Jesus is not just leaning on Israel's story, but he is, I would say, technically recapitulating Israel's story. He's bringing Israel's story to a head in himself, right? And he's driving it on. Israel is called to be salt and light, right? Salt, they're meant to preserve the world or prevent the world from going bad. Right, but they weren't doing that. They lost their distinctive flavor, right? Light that they were supposed to radiate God's glory to every corner of his creation. And yet it seemed as though, in Jesus' estimation, they were just part of the darkness, the general darkness of the world. So that is Israel's call. And if we didn't realize, I think that was and is Israel's call, then we get it today, right? Jesus gives it in kind of like the second half of that same thought when we see today his relationship to the law and the prophets. He has not come to abolish the law or the prophets. He has come to fulfill the law and the prophets, right? So, and in that sense, I think we can take that in any number of ways. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, I think, is when Jesus himself gave commentary on what the greatest commandment is. Right? He says, "Love the Lord your God, and then love your neighbor as yourself." This is the law and the prophets. So he already gives this kind of very concise version. So we can hold on to that for ourselves if we want. When Jesus says here, "I've come to fulfill the law and the prophets," we can see that he's come to drive his new Israel to reach the heights to achieve or accomplish the vocation for which they were called from so long ago, right? So here, loving God and loving neighbor as self, Jesus is there to do it in himself and to drive his new Israel movement forward to do the same. So we can hold that there. But we can say, the law and the prophets is, in some sense, the narrative story of Israel. All right, so from the beginning, from Genesis, the creation, all the way through to the Gospels, where we see Jesus is saying, then this story is fulfilled in me. And this great story then of God's beautiful creation gone awry as a result of human rebellion, God's efforts to get it back on track and kind of the faltering and failing of Israel, all the way through to Jesus picking that up himself to say, okay, yes, this then is the answer, right? God has not deserted or abandoned his project, but he's going all in, right? So he sent the prophets and all the rest, but in his son, he's going all in on the world reclamation project. And this is then it in the flesh, right? Here it is, God in the flesh, or even I say God's own, say, life of generosity or his own life of love in the flesh, in Jesus, in order to bring, again, the promises of old, namely that we could live that way too, to bring the promises of old to fruition. And I say that as well, like not like I can live that way, as though like I can live the life of self-gift. That's part of it. But the other part of it is to build a civilization of self-gift on earth as it is in heaven. That's what you're praying for, right? When you pray for the coming kingdom of God, that's what you're praying for. You're praying that not only the habits of heart and mind that you have, say, assumed or habituated as a follower of Jesus might be everybody's habits of heart and mind. This is God's kingdom come on earth. And it comes through, of course, our obedience to his will. And the world's obedience to his will, having seen, as we saw yesterday, our good works, having seen God's own life of love working through us, that they come to give glory to God as well, and learn to live according to the habits of heart that God has instilled in us as a result of our trusting and following Jesus. So, I don't know. That's all there, right? It's all there today. And again, I think it prompts us again to make the same commitment that we're making these past few days, right? Is to say, okay, well, yeah, the world is out of sorts, but God's answer is that he's gone all in. He's come rushing into the scene, right? He's come to reclaim what is his. And we see God in the flesh. We see Jesus doing exactly that. We see him living the way that we're intended to live. Right? And then we say, okay, I'm going to trust and follow him. I know what his way is. And I've seen that life of self-gift in him, in the scriptures. I've seen him live it out all the way to the end. And then I know that that's what I have to do as well. Without counting the cost. Without being distracted, can I say, by the darkness of the world. Without being, without coming off the tracks at the thought that maybe I'm the only one living this way. Do you know? Like, well, if you are, so be it. If you are, how blessed are you? It's just you and Jesus. You know, again, more intimate than that, right? It's like, you're doing it. And especially, can I say, in the hidden ways, right? In all the ways that, because sometimes I think that sense of loneliness or I'm going it alone or whatever it may be, right? I think sometimes that does derail us. But for the fact that, those are the places of greatest intimacy with Jesus, where no one else can see what's going on. And we're also not inclined to say, share those things. They're the little moments of faithfulness that kind of build our own house of worship to God. And that's what we want. And we're doing that behind the scenes, and we're doing that in front of people as well. Because in the end, it's just faithfulness. It's just faithfulness to Jesus. And so he's drawn the narrative, history, the narrative whole of Israel to a head in himself. And he's inviting us now to be his new Israel, gathered around him, sustained and animated by his life, and driven on to give ourselves totally, just as he did, for the good of the world.